This is episode number 26 with the founder and CEO of ROI Online, author of The Golden Toilet, and host of the ROI Online podcast, Steve Brown. Welcome to the Path to Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Wes Barefoot, where it's my mission to help aspiring entrepreneurs and existing business owners take control of their lives and create freedom for themselves through business ownership. Each episode, I'll be exploring the strategies and tactics of other successful entrepreneurs that have created freedom in their own lives while sharing what I'm learning along my own path to freedom. I'm glad you're here. Let's drop in. My guest this episode is Steve Brown. Steve's a guy I was able to connect with several months ago and have enjoyed getting to know him, and I'm excited to have him on the podcast as I think he has a very refreshing approach to online marketing. Steve's the founder of ROI Online, an internet marketing agency focused on helping his clients actually see a return on their marketing dollars invested. I've worked with a lot of digital marketing companies over the years across numerous businesses, and that's not always the case in my experience. Very rarely are these marketing agencies actually focused on helping their clients see a return on the money that they're investing in their online marketing. Steve takes a very different approach. Steve's all about the ROI. He understands that his clients want to see a clear return on the dollars that they're investing. So we talk a lot about that approach in the episode. We also talk about Steve's new book that he's recently published, The Golden Toilet. Stop flushing your marketing budget into your website and build a system that grows your business. Not only is it a great title for the book, I think it's very relevant. He makes the point that your website does not need to be the central part of your business. It needs to be part of an overall system. And finally, Steve's the host of the ROI Online podcast, which I highly recommend any existing business owner or even aspiring entrepreneur check out, because internet marketing is an ever-changing landscape, and Steve brings a ton of amazing insight into not only what he and his firm are able to do, but just trends in digital marketing, internet marketing today. So I think you'll really enjoy this episode with Steve. With that, let's go ahead and drop in to The Golden Toilet with Steve Brown. The people listening to my podcast, I mean, people that are already small business owners or people that are aspiring entrepreneurs and thinking about getting into business for themselves, one of the most intimidating aspects of that is marketing. And, you know, how am I going to get my brand out there? How am I going to get clients? How am I going to build my business, especially as it pertains to digital marketing? I mean, it's just an ever-changing landscape, and especially for someone coming into business for themselves that doesn't have prior, you know, marketing experience, it's very intimidating, and it holds people back in some cases. And, you know, for a lot of small businesses, their marketing is not very sophisticated. They don't have the time to really dig in and learn it themselves. So I love what you guys do at your company, ROI Online. And I think that your knowledge and insight will be very educational for everyone listening in. So with that, you know, maybe just take a couple minutes and first of all, talk a little bit about your background. You know, how did you become a business owner yourself? And then, of course, you know, talk through a little more detail what ROI Online is, what you guys do, and who you work with.
Yeah, most of my professional career, I've been in a business development or sales position. And much like the listeners, you know, you have these roles at these different companies, and you start to, oh, you learn things, you start seeing insights, and in the back of your mind, you think, well, I could do this better. And you know, what was happening was I was ending up in being pigeonholed in a sales position at each company, and because I was good at it, but I also felt that I was good at some other things, but that was such a struggle. I started to take initiative and help improve their websites. That was when websites were starting to be more prevalent and there was an expectation that it needed to be updated or whatever. So I would take the initiative. What I learned was that if I went out and did cold calls, probably 1 out of 10 cold calls would develop into some aspect of some business. But the folks that went to the website and filled out a form or requested a call, those closed at a much 2-to-3 ratio because they were interested, they wanted to know about it, and they had an expectation. They want to see what it looked like in their certain situation. So, and the last gig that I wasn't mine was on the other side of that coin. I worked for a web design firm. And so I was talking with all these business people that were coming in and saying, hey, I think I need to redo my website. And I was relating because I was them for a couple of companies that I represented before. Mm-hmm. And I realized, oh, I'm not the only one that was feeling that. And I would see this pattern over and over, right?
Yeah.
So I would get them in, tell them, you know, that you're going to expect someone to fill out a form and then hand it off to the design team, but then it would disappear. I didn't have any control. The relationship I developed with that customer would be strained because they trusted me and expected me to help, but I didn't have any power there. I wasn't that design team's boss. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to start my own deal so at least I can do what I feel is best for the customer. And to hold myself accountable instead of me complaining about how this place is being ran, which wasn't fair. If I was so smart, then maybe I ought to step out and do my own deal.
Yeah. But, well, not to mention it's probably a little more exciting waking up every day, right? Knowing that you're going to build something that is yours instead of helping build something that's somebody else's.
It is. Initially, it was really scary and sobering to think about doing that. But now on this end, it's like, yeah, I love it. And I would much rather do that, even though I traded different concerns, different worries, right? Different responsibilities.
Yeah. Well, it's a cool story. And I appreciate you sharing that side of it with us. So tell us a little bit more about your company though, ROI Online, and you know, what do you kind of specialize in and what type of clients do you work with?
I started a company and I named it ROI Online because I wanted to convey that I get it, that you, the business owner, has an expectation that the investment of time and frustration and effort, money, is going to move the needle some way for your business, going to grow the value of your business somehow. So that's why I named it ROI Online. And in essence, what we do is we're the Chip and Joanna Gaines of Flip Your Platform. Okay, so in Chip and Joanna Gaines, is there, I forget the name of their show now. I'm using an example, but it's I Fix Her Upper. That's Fix the name of the show.
Yeah, I've actually got his book. He's got a really good book. Got it like a year ago. It's a good read.
Yeah.
Capital gains.
So what I like about it is that, you know, they take someone that's in a certain stage of life and you imagine that this person goes to them and they had a conversation with their wife and it says, honey, you know, instead of us trying to fix it up ourselves for 3 or 4 years and live in a construction zone, hey, baby, how about we hire someone to do it right?
Yeah.
And we get to enjoy the experience of living in the environment that we would prefer instead of trying to do it a little bit at a time. So the customers that we really excel with are in that same stage. They're at that stage where they're going, you know, my time's more valuable than me trying to figure it out, even though I could. Why not I hire a team to help us get our fundamentals in place and get us set up for success so that we can go faster, avoid mistakes, avoid setbacks and frustration and wasted money.
Yeah.
So the folks that come to us, we do what's called a quick start, and then just 120 days, we get all the fundamentals in place, clear messaging, team up with a marketing automation, set up a CRM, and then design a strategic campaign and really help them start to focus on the right things. Because this marketing challenge that you mentioned, everyone's having to face it, whether they like it or not.
That's right.
So why not? Let me give you the map, a flashlight, and help you go through this jungle safely and come out the other end successful.
Well, I think it's a much needed service, right? Because to your point, a lot of people don't know how to do it, and even if they did, it's just, you know, especially as a small business owner, you know, if you're really in that growth phase as the owner, that's not the best use of your time trying to make sure that the website's perfect and, you know, laying all of these things out. Your time could likely be much better spent in other aspects of the business where you're going to be able to move the needle and then let the pros handle the aspects that's what they do all day, every day. That's what they specialize in. So I'm curious, when you start working with a new client, you start this quick start program, are most of your clients coming to you with a blank slate and you're kind of building from the ground up, or are you having to more kind of take what they already have in place and either tear it down or build off of that? Or is it just a mix?
Well, we do a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Generally, though, it's a remodel job where,
gotcha.
So this business owner has gotten to the point where they're busy fighting fires and doing HR and hiring and training and paying bills and whatever it is, all the many things that claw at you and your responsibilities. But they look up and they go, "We really need to get our act together online." They're finally starting to confront it and know they need to do it. And what they're doing is just like an entrepreneur does. And that's, you know, I believe that the invisible heroes of the American economy are the entrepreneurs, the ones that really put everything on the line, that risk everything, including their family's future, to put it out there and be measured. But what they end up doing is creating services and products that improve our lives, offer jobs to people that want to pay bills and have families and build a business that's a legacy for their family. But there's a lot of gotchas that come with that. And so that's why I do what I do. And that's why I wrote my book, is to help these heroes make it through that gauntlet and come out with just a couple of scratches, maybe on their knees or something.
No doubt. I mean, the scratches are going to come, you know, as an entrepreneur, there's no way around it. There's plenty of ups and downs, but you know, I think especially in this day and age, good entrepreneurs need to really focus on, they need to figure out, you know, in their business and where their business is at today, where are they going to see the strongest return on the investment of their time, and then get comfortable outsourcing the rest of it. I think too many entrepreneurs want to just do it all themselves. And I was talking about this recently, I think in maybe one of my Mindset Monday episodes, where it's almost become like a badge of honor for an entrepreneur to be like, yeah, I go on 3 hours of sleep every night and I'm just, you know, I'm clocking in 20-hour days, 7 days a week. I'm doing it all myself. And I mean, number one, it's just a recipe for burnout. But number two, you know, you're not going to have as good of a result if that's your approach. So, you know, I think outsourcing these sorts of pieces of the business to a company like yours is great. And I absolutely love the fact that your company is called ROI Online, because many of the digital marketing companies I've worked with, their companies should be called Impressions Online, because that's all they want to talk about is, hey, well, hey, look how many impressions we got last month. And I'm like, well, that's great, but nobody booked an appointment, meaning we didn't see any return on that investment of our marketing dollars. I could give a shit about how many impressions I got. And you know, I think part of the problem, at least in my experience, is some of these marketing companies, and I think for bigger companies, it's maybe more of a challenge than with maybe smaller, kind of more niche marketing agencies. But you know, they didn't really take the time to learn our business. They didn't really take the time to understand what it was that we were trying to accomplish through our marketing, who we were trying to speak to, what our messaging really was. It was just more of a one size fits all. And then that's where they wanted to, you know, throw a lot of dashboards in front of us and say, well, look at all these impressions. Well, you know, that's great, but unless there's something coming out the bottom end of the funnel, I really don't care how many impressions we're getting.
Yeah, no, that's, So what you just said is a very realistic expectation of a good business person, right? And the reason they were wanting to show you impressions is because they're grasping for some way to demonstrate the effectiveness of what they're doing. But like you said, the problem is, the assumption is impressions are what you need. And right. It may not be that. It may be that actually this, first of all, those impressions are based on an assumption also that all your fundamentals are in place, that you both sides see the value of those fundamentals and understand them. And in my experience, that assumption is incorrect most of the time.
Yeah, mine as well. You know, and I'm not afraid to spend the money because I do look at it as an investment, right? And a lot of people that I coach through the process of identifying and investigating franchise businesses, a lot of times a franchise has a team in place very similar to what, you know, you're doing with the companies that you work for. I mean, you know, they're going to build the website for you. They've got, you know, depending on the maturity of the franchise, they've got a lot of this in place. And so as a new franchise owner, you kind of just get plugged into it. A lot of benefits that go with that. And then because of a franchise company's experience, a lot of times they'll require franchisees, they'll be contractually obligated to spend a certain amount of money each month on marketing and advertising. And usually the franchise or is not going to say, hey, you need to spend X amount per month and this is how you have to spend it. They don't usually dictate where you spend it. They can advise you if you're a brand new franchise owner. They can say, hey, this is what other franchisees in similar markets to yours, this is what they do. This is the type of results that they're getting. So they can definitely give you guidance with that, but they're not typically going to tell you where you have to spend it. But based on their experience, they're going to say, look, you need to be investing a minimum of this amount per month. It's just what we know based on all of our experience. And that freaks a lot of people out, especially if they're, you know, looking at a franchise and they haven't done marketing before, right? Because they're looking at it as a line item expense, which is not. And that's what I have to really kind of coach some people through is this is an investment, right? And now you need to make sure that you're not just blindly spending that money and hoping and praying, and you're not investing for impressions, but you should be able, and if the franchise really has their act together, they should be able to guide you on where to spend that money and where you can expect to get the best results. And then they should also have the tools in place, the reporting, the analytics to show you what type of a return you're getting on your investment. And so in one of our franchise businesses, we have minimums. We've always been on average 3 times the minimums on our investment each month because the ROI is there. Like, we'd be crazy to only invest the minimum amount. It'd be a terrible business decision. So, you know, again, I like the name of your company because I think it is a very accurate, you know, way to kind of describe exactly what it is that you're trying to help your clients accomplish. It's an investment, but just like any investment, you're going to want to see a return on it. Absolutely. It's not just a flat expense.
Wes here. You may have noticed there's a franchising theme to this podcast. And that's because franchising has had a massive impact on my life. And it's the very reason I'm walking my own path to freedom. In fact, one of my companies is a franchise consulting company where I work with people to help them understand franchising and determine if it might be a good fit for them. And if it is something they want to explore, then I help them navigate the entire investigative process and ultimately find a franchise business that's a great match for them. You know, the fact of the matter is there are thousands and thousands of franchise businesses out there today. And like anything, there are good ones and there are bad ones. Even out of the many, many great franchise companies, not every one of them would necessarily be a good fit for you. You know, buying a franchise is a huge decision and you don't want to wing it. I've helped many people buy franchise businesses over the years, and my wife and I have bought and owned franchises today, and we plan to keep investing in franchise businesses. I love helping people understand this process and help them find a business that's going to be a great fit for them and help them accomplish their goals and ultimately create that freedom in their life that we're all looking for. The best part of all of this is that my services are free to the people I work with. And while I do love to contribute to charities and other great causes, I'm not a nonprofit. I'm compensated by the franchise companies I work with when I introduce them to someone that ends up becoming one of their franchisees. It's very similar to real estate, but with franchises. I have the privilege of working with hundreds and hundreds of the best franchise companies out there across practically every industry. So I can be absolutely confident that when I recommend someone to look at a franchise company, I'm introducing them to a very credible and proven company with a solid business model and great support. So if you think you might be interested in learning more about franchising and seeing if it might be right for you, I'd love to speak with you. Get in touch with me by email at wes@path2freedom.com, path2frdm.com. And also check out my website at path2freedom.com, spelled the same way, where I've got a ton of resources, both franchise and non-franchise related, that will help you start down your own path to freedom. And of course, subscribe to and follow the podcast for more great advice about business ownership. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in speaking with me, please share this podcast with them. Thanks for listening to my shameless plug. Now let's drop back into the episode. You mentioned your book earlier. I want to make sure we spend some time talking about the book. First of all, because I love this, give us the title of the book.
Yeah, it's The Golden Toilet. Stop flushing your marketing budget into your website and build a system that grows your business.
I love it. It's eye-catching. Shows a little bit of your marketing savvy right there, just in the title of the book, I would say.
Mm-hmm. No, so the book acknowledges the fear that most business owners have of wasting money. Most of the business owners that you and I know, they're prudent. They spend their money wisely. And one of their fears is wasting money on something. And there's a big fear in wasting money on marketing. And most marketing is a waste of money because it's done wrong. And it's done based on the wrong assumptions. And so, you know, if you think about a golden toilet, it's just this universal, iconic image of absurd wasted money that didn't improve the user experience.
No.
Right? Or the functionality. And yet, it's just wasted money when a porcelain would do. And that's the essence of my book, is that, look, stop wasting money on this website thing. Okay. And it hit me one day. So I'm trying to reframe the expectation of a website with a business owner. And my villain in that story is they're stuck on website, redo website, and not understanding that the website's just a piece of a cohesive business system. So one day I just told this business owner, look, I want you to look at your website as it's just a toilet, right? You wouldn't buy a house if it didn't have one. You wouldn't work in an office if it didn't have one. But when people come over for dinner at your house, where do you hang out? In the kitchen, by the pool, around
not,
the fireplace.
Not on the toilet, right?
Not on the toilet. Hopefully not on the toilet, right?
Be a weird dinner party.
Yeah. So that's the thing is, look, this is an opportunity to build an asset that's going to grow the value of your business, not this little marketing thingy. We got to check off the task list and move on to something else.
Yeah, I think it's a good point and a great way of thinking about it. I've never thought about it that way until I read your book, which you were kind enough to send me a digital copy of. Yeah, I mean, I could see how for so many businesses, they look at their website as kind of this central, you know, just almost like nucleus of their business and I guess maybe the exception to some of this is if you're an e-commerce business, you know, where literally most of your transactions are happening through your website. But outside of that, your website is an asset. It's something you need to have. It needs to be functional. It needs to communicate whatever it is you're trying to communicate, but it's not the business. It's not, you know, the central point of the entire operation.
You know, I want to tell you a story. The other day, I got a call from one of my past clients. And so I mentioned him in my book and one of the examples of the video, but you know, he came to town. He didn't get a big building. He's a garage door company. So he didn't get a big building on a busy street and put up a big sign and advertise expecting people to drive up and come inside him and hire him to do. So we did the online version. We created an online presence for him instead of that physical presence. And he just ran it out of his own garage, right?
Yeah.
And so now, this is almost 5 years later, he calls me and he says, Steve, this guy's going to buy my business. What's my website worth? And I go, Tony, that's an excellent question. And let me ask you a couple of questions. I said, so how many inquiries do you get every week for your garage doors? And he goes, well, at least one a day. And I said, all right, so let's say five a week or whatever. So five times 52 is, well, five times. So we got 250, 260 inquiries. And then on average, what's the lifetime value of a new client for you? They're not just going to do one repair. You may do several repairs over the lifetime of if they continue to use you. So he goes, yeah. And then he's doing 250 times. Let's say whatever it's $1,000.
Lifetime value is, yeah.
And now, and I'm saying, so here's the thing. That person that's wanting to buy your business, in the back of their mind, they're wondering, how am I going to pay for this business? Well, you now have a system that has a history and data that can command a potential value of this asset. Because if you just turn it off, he's not going to get those rings. Not turn it off in a malicious way, but as an example of the value that exists in this asset.
Yeah, or if he said, I'm going to buy the business, but not the website, because I don't think it's worth anything.
Right. He's wrong.
No,
right?
He would be, but I'm saying if it turned off, if the website just wasn't there capturing all of these inquiries, depending on what his percentage is in terms of how many leads come through the website, what his close rate is, how many leads turn into an actual sell, and then what the lifetime value of the client is. I mean, you gave him good advice. This is how you figure out what's the website worth. And it's not, because my guess is he was probably reaching out for something along the lines of like, how much did I pay you again to build this website? So it's probably, that's about what I'm going to value the website is. Absolutely not.
So that is the real ROI of the investment in this asset. Not just Steve, I only got 5 leads this week. Dude, when you get ready to sell this business, there's a value there that this thing is going to perform in the future even more, because where are people going more and more and more? Online, they have that expectation. So that was like a great exercise in demonstrating the true ROI of an asset that most business owners wouldn't consider until they're in a stage of selling that business.
Yeah, no doubt.
What a missed opportunity. If they didn't, they just had, oh, I got a brochure website. You missed on some money there, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. A very good point. And a lot of people that I work with, I mean, I talk to them about, hey, you need to, if you're evaluating a franchise, you need to understand how do other franchisees sell their business when they're ready. And they're like, well, Wes, I haven't even bought the business yet. Why am I going to ask about selling it? Because you want to make sure that there's a strong exit strategy at some point, right? I mean, you always want to have at least a sense of what the end game is. It's just so many people are not thinking about that at various stages of their business. So it's a really good point. What are some of the other things that you get into in the book, that you think would be worth noting here on the podcast?
Yeah. So I believe that you need to have 4 things in place to really have your fundamentals. And this is universal across any platform, even in the future when maybe it's a different conversation as far as the technology and stuff, but you need to have your clear messaging. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that comes from that our brains are designed a certain way to receive and assimilate information. And so by honoring the way our brains would prefer to be communicated with, via story-based content, then that makes your messaging clear and is a competitive advantage. And Building a Story Brand is a great book to refer to on how to all the specifics. But then that content has to live somewhere. And in a virtual world, it has to have a virtual home. And most people go, oh, a website. Well, website's more than, I think you, first of all, stop saying website, see a system, a content management system. Mm-hmm. But that content management system has marketing automation, right, built in. So at this time in our world, marketing automation is utilizing robots or a technology to facilitate a good customer experience. They're evaluating what you do. They want to download things. They want to request information, and that technology can facilitate it or expedite it. And then that same messaging needs to reside in your sales conversation. At some point, you have an interaction with a client, whether it's selling a sandwich or whether it's selling a garage door or whatever that may be. But your messaging and experience needs to be congruent in the sales process. How many times have you decided, I'm going to go over there and buy this? You did the research, you looked them up, you're excited about it. You go over there and some dipwad just acts totally opposite of what you expected.
Yeah.
You're out of there.
Out of a cell.
Oh, you're out of there. And why are you so upset that you're going to go on Yelp and really dog on them, right? It's because you feel that you've been tricked and you're like they didn't value opposite of what you expected in the marketing side of things. So that's why you got to take that and really bake it into your customer interaction stuff. And I call it sales automation. So you can keep that experience and expectation congruent. Then all these things that we all know, we need to maybe consider Facebook ads and Google ads and post and blogs and videos and things like that. Now we can start to be more strategic, because if we run an ad, we're going to be able to tell that person that's calling us, hey, we can get you ads and do great. Okay, if you're going to do the ad, I want this messaging and I want to direct it to this landing page. And this is the expectation that I have as the outcome of this ad campaign. Then all of a sudden I've empowered you to be more businesslike, be more strategic, and get a better value on that ad instead of, just drop them on this website. And I hope they have the patience to dig around long enough to find out what, if we have it and how to contact us.
I love how you talk about it in terms of stop thinking just about your website and think about building a system, right? Because especially mm-hmm. in this day and age, I mean, having a website's great, but unless you've got, and it depends on the business that you're in, the industry that you're in, but you know, in many cases, no one's going to see your website unless you have a very, very big budget to drive traffic to that website, right? Yeah. I mean, if it's more of a needs-based service, then maybe people are proactively searching for, you know, whatever product or service you offer. But if it's competitive, they're going to find, you know, in most cases, whoever's got the deepest pockets for a marketing budget or whoever's been in business longest or has the best reviews. So point is, you need a very comprehensive system in place to get your business out there in front of people across multiple platforms. And you need to make sure that it all kind of flows together. It all ties in together and that it's consistent. Yeah. And it's not an easy thing to do. I'm kind of like, I would consider myself middle of the road when it comes to, you know, my understanding of digital marketing. I'm not a complete idiot with it, but I'm certainly not an expert. Like, you're not going to catch me starting a competitor to your company anytime soon. But I know enough to be dangerous, but I also know enough that to say, I don't know enough to where it's a good use of my time to try to figure all of this out. I know what I need for the most part, but I don't know how to put it all in place, nor do I have the time to learn it, or it's just not a good use of my time. But it's gotten so complex, you know, it does really have to be a complex system that all flows together nicely, I think.
Totally. And the way that I want you to think about it is just in the way that you would set up your, we keep referring to a sandwich shop or whatever, but if let's assume you have a sandwich shop and you have a physical location. Well, it's just natural to us that it's obvious where the parking lot is, and you even paint lines in the parking lot where you want people to park. They know your hours of operation because there's a sign on there, and there's the sign's lit when you're open. And then when they come in, they know where to go and order. They know where to pay. They know where to pick it up. They know where to sit. So you've really thought through the user experience, and not just on the customer side, but the delivery of that on the back end. And so the same determination and consideration should be on the virtual side of that supporting part of the process. So if you want people to, when they do get there, they do find you, you need to tell them where to go next, what they should expect. They need to find what they expect when they go there, how to transact, how to set up a time. That needs to be very obvious.
I want to shift gears a little bit, and we'll come back to the book before we wrap up. But I want to shift gears a little bit because as I kind of opened up with, I mean, I just know from, you know, talking to so many people that are, you know, thinking about getting into business for themselves. I mean, naturally, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of concerns that people have at the prospect of getting into business. And that all varies depending on the person and also what their background and their experience is. But marketing's a big concern for a lot of people. They don't understand it. It's intimidating. And I understand that this will probably vary depending on the type of business that we're talking about. But, you know, brand new business owner, they've been in business like a month, if that, or maybe they haven't even launched the business yet, don't have a huge budget for marketing, and they come to you and they're like, hey, Steve, I'm a blank slate, man. Where do I start?
I think the first thing we want to know is why. Why are you doing what you're doing? The number one challenge that any leader, parent, teacher, anyone that's in any position of mentoring, leading people, is your message. The hardest thing for us to do is convey the thoughts that are in our head and where we're going, to really take that those words out and make them consumable and easily understandable. Mm-hmm. So if you think about, they say that people need to hear your message at least 7 times before it really sinks in and makes sense to them. And you've all experienced that. Well, I thought I'd said that already. Well, you did. You just need to say it 6 more times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the first thing we need to get clear is being able to answer pretty much the one-liner or the elevator pitch is where we would want to start. Is like, so what is it that you do? And so, for us, for example, that an example would be that is like, well, most business leaders struggle with figuring out how to make the transition into the world of modern marketing. And so we have a team of folks that make it easy. We develop a plan, get your messaging clear, and then help set it up for you so that you can begin to do what you really want to do, and that's to grow your business. And it just happens to be that we do it online. But that's where we need to start, is start getting your messaging really squared away, then figuring out what platform we need to get you moved into that would be best for your situation. And just get the basic fundamentals in, and then start to figure out what kind of campaigns. If you're ready for business, you know, we always assume everybody's ready for business, but in one case, one of the client, what they really needed was employees. They were competing for high quality employees in a very competitive industry, and they were at a disadvantage. That's so easy to win in that situation with clear messaging and clarifying what your culture is and what your company is about and what it's like to work there. That's an easy
win. So you help them market themselves as a potential employer.
Yeah.
Prospective employees.
They weren't having a problem getting business at the time. What they needed was employees to take care of the business. And so we ran campaigns, same challenge, the marketing challenge. We ran strategic campaigns, and they kicked ass.
Well, and hey, credit to you for asking questions and listening and figuring out what your clients want. You could have been like, you know, a lot of the other marketing agents out there, be like, yeah, well, I don't really know what you're trying to accomplish, but look at all these impressions that you got. Isn't that awesome?
Serious.
Let's sit around and talk about impressions all day. Like, look at our fancy dashboard showing all these shitload of impressions.
Yeah.
But you can tell I'm not a fan of impressions. That's just
right. But if it's my
personal
mom
experience,
yeah, who cares about my mom's impressions? My right. mom needs every blog of ours, right?
Right.
But that's yeah. not paying the bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, from a marketing budget standpoint. So let's say that, you know, you've worked with someone for a couple months, right? You've helped them get their messaging clear. They've got the foundation in place. I know another concern for a lot of small business owners is, you know, hey, I don't have a ton of cash flow yet. You know, I'm bootstrapping this thing a little bit, so I don't have a huge marketing budget that could compete with some of the big companies out there, spending a lot of money on ads. What's kind of an inexpensive way for a, and again, I know it varies depending on the business, but generally speaking, what's kind of an inexpensive way for a young business to start investing some money in marketing and advertising, but without having to, you know, ramp up to the budget of some of the larger companies out there?
You know, the first thing I would want you to invest in are what we call evergreen assets that help your customers sell for you. So whether it's little videos, whether it's handouts, whether it's emails, whether it's a blog post or things that's empowering them to convey the value that you provide for them, that would be one great thing. Because you think about them. So if you had a limited budget, how nice would it be to invest in things that are going to be valuable and relevant in a year from now? The problem with ads disappear as soon as your budget runs out, right?
Yep.
So if we're going to run ads, if we need to run ads, then we want to make sure that those ads get the most mileage. And so having a really good teaser or headline, and when people click on it, that it goes to a place that they find exactly what they expected, that the action that you want them to take is really clear and compelling, and that you're able to harvest as many of those as possible. So that's, you know, most people throw ad budgets, but they're not deliberate or strategic where when people click on it, where do they go next? So I talk about it in my book. You know, I'm sitting there, I know nothing about this product. It's the Lint Lizard, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know anything about this product. But my spouse wanted me to clean out the vent thing in the dryer, right? It was like, this is the last thing I want to do. But it's legitimate expectation. It could catch fire, right?
Sure.
And so, yeah. So I'm sitting there, and I'm scrolling through, and I just happen to see this lady's hand, not a man's hand, a lady's hand, plug this thing onto her vacuum cleaner and stick this little anteater head thing into the where you clean out the lint in the dryer.
Yep.
And then the next thing it shows you is all this tube full of lint. And I just laughed because it said, learn more. I went learn more. And then it was, of course, it was on sale. And then it was buy now. And I did. And before I got off the toilet, I had purchased this solution.
The Lint Lizard.
That she could do instead of me. And it's
brilliant.
Like, I'm telling you, but think of all the thinking and strategy behind that experience. And that's what I'm trying to get my heroes to be thinking about how to do that. Because what if they, all right, they put a bunch of ads and whatever the name of their product, you know, our plastic's 25% stronger and sucks more lint and snore. Who cares? That's not going to stop you and your scrolling.
Right.
So there was a lot of thought and strategy put in. I thought it was so cool. And I didn't think about the success of that strategy until days later when I thought, you know, it came in the mail and I got to thinking, I didn't have 1 second thought about that purchase.
And it was quick.
But I fell into a strategic campaign of something I needed. I would have never known to search for. I never would have looked up, hey, I wonder if there's a Lint Lizard anteater head thing that sucks lint out that I don't have to. So, right? I would have never put that search phrase in.
No. No, definitely not. So yeah. What I'm kind of hearing is, and yeah, you know, I don't know, content may be kind of a buzzword these days, but your kind of recommendation is start by creating good evergreen content, right? Mm-hmm. That can be repurposed and kind of circulated. And then at some point you shift more to actually running ads.
Yeah. So you think about, you know, you wouldn't pass out coupons for your sandwich shop until it was open, right?
Yeah.
But that's what most people run in ads, sending people to a website that people go to the website and they're going, what's this? And then they leave and go somewhere else. You just wasted a click. Okay. And so that's what I'm coaching is that, look, the things that your grandparents did, Gary Vee talks about this in one of his books, I think Crush It or anyway, that are the way your grandparents conducted business was being a good citizen, giving free taste of the same, whatever. Those still are relevant and apply. We just need to figure out a digital application of universal successful business principles.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And totally agree with that. I mean, the general principles haven't really changed. It's the setting in which the principles need to be applied. And there's also just a lot more noise out there today. I mean, I think, you know, people's attention is the new currency, you know, of this digital world that we live in, right? I mean, everyone is fighting for consumers' attention, right? And it's getting shorter and shorter, right? I mean, Lint Lizard, you know, they had it so dialed in, you probably, you know, had purchased this thing within 30 seconds. Easy. It would have taken you another 30 seconds to get hooked or to decide that, you know, this is the product you had to have. They might have lost you, right?
Totally.
You'd have been done on the toilet and you'd have been on to something else, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's got to be, yeah, how do you apply this digitally? But at the same time, it's how do we actually stand out from all the rest of the noise and grab someone's attention?
So think about, you know, that time you went to the fair, the state fair, whatever, the county fair, and you're walking down to Midway. So it's at night. You see all these flashing, blinking lights, and there's a Ferris wheel, and there's balloons everywhere, and then there's all these sounds. It's just the cacophony of all these sounds, right? Noises competing for your attention. And then there's people talking to you, and then there's smells and sights and all this stuff. And remember when you zeroed in on that foot-long corn dog and you walked up and you ordered, and as that hand's coming out of that window with that corn dog, you're going to put all this mustard on, all that noise disappeared. And for until that first bite, it's just quiet. And so what happened there was attention. We are competing against attention, but we're at such a disadvantage of grabbing attention. We're competing with Instagram and Facebook and wives and kids and emails and bosses and whatever's going on demanding everyone's attention. And even if you get the attention, it could just disappear in a second. So really, to me, it's the focus economy. So if you think that sandwich shop, what's going to catch my attention as I'm scrolling by, 20 cents off on a hoagie, or this guy that's in the back and he's got a beard and he's a little chubby and he's a little bit sweaty, but he's making this beautiful sandwich that's not on the menu and he's talking about all of it and how to make it and how to cook it a little bit longer, whatever. I watch those videos all the time. That's just somebody that kind of loves what they're doing and they're telling you how to make a great sandwich at home. And really what's happening is you're going, I'm hungry for a sandwich and I don't have the ingredients at the house, but I'm driving over there and I'm going to get that sandwich. Well, we don't make it. We'll put some of that stuff on there. You watch, you see what happened? You just sat there with a buddy and watched him make a sandwich, basically. is what's going on. And you got my focus and you got me seeing something that, you know, I really do like a great sandwich.
So it's got to be adding value.
Yeah. You got to be moving me emotionally in some way, whether it's humor or hunger or whatever it can, whatever is relevant for your situation.
You got to get the attention first, but then you've got to hold it, right? And probably focus. The best way to do that is to add value.
Be a human, relate with me.
Yeah.
And just let's have fun and be kind of honest, like, right? And just go, I know you guys would love to make the sandwich. Here's all the ingredients you need. Here's how you do it. But don't forget to toast it. But if you can't make it today, I'm making these right now. Come on down. Let me know you watch this. I want to know your name. Get you on my email list.
Yeah, that's right. Get that lifetime value of the client up, right?
Serious.
Well, man, this is good stuff. I want to make sure that people know where they can connect with you, where they can find your book. So the book's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where can people find the book if they want to check it out? The Golden Toilet.
The Golden Toilet. That's write it down. It's hard to remember. So you're going to find it on Amazon. It's on Audible. You can get it in Kindle format. You can go to thegoldentoilet.com. That's my book website. A lot of good free resources there. My agency website is roionline.com. You can sign up for what we call the Quick Start Academy. And if you're at the stage where you can't really hire an agency like ours to do it, we've got this great little mastermindy class. It's 10 weeks. You're going to show up with a couple of others and you're going to go through the curriculum and we're going to teach you how to do what we do. We're going to give you feedback. And at the end of that, you're going to feel really much better about attacking all the marketing challenges that you're facing.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. We'll make sure to link that in the show notes so people can check it out. I love that because that's hard for a lot of people to pull the trigger on. It's an investment, right? But you know, hiring an agency right out of the gate can be tough in a lot of cases. So more of a group setting, teach you to fish type of approach.
Yeah.
Less expensive, I would assume. That's a great idea.
At the worst, you come out of there, you'll be able to tell these people that are calling you every day, I can get you at the top of the search. They don't even know what you do, but they can get you to the top of the search. Assuming people search for that, and you're going to be empowered to answer these questions and be a better business person.
I love it. So I'm curious, the book's on Audible, you said?
Yeah.
Did you do the narrating yourself?
Yeah. If you want to hear
that?
Me, it was fun. Actually, it's a, you know, it's a totally different thing. It's a little bit harder than it looks, but you start to get in the groove and you figure it out. But yeah, it seems like it would make sense if I was going to write a book that I'd also figure out and read it and get it set up in Audible and give a whole nother audience that maybe won't sit down long
for
enough
sure.
to read a book to listen.
No doubt. I've always been a big reader. I've become a big fan of Audible in the last year or two. Still read, but I get through a lot more books because of Audible, and I'll put it on 2.0 speed and crank through a book in half the time. And that's a big part of why I like it, because I can do it, listen to books at times when I ordinarily wouldn't be able to sit down and read a book. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan's podcast. And anytime he has an author on there promoting their book and they mention that it's on Audible, he'll ask them if they read it themselves. And if they say no, he gives them so much shit. He's like, come on, you wrote the book, but you can't read the book for Audible?
Serious.
Like, that's just lazy.
No, it's serious, and you should. You should, because
I agree.
But it's another challenge, another expectation that you need to have of yourself if you're going to step up and do it. Just like a business owner would go, I'm going to know how to make sandwich. I know how to take out the trash. I know how to, you know, handle the cash register. It's just one of those things.
Well, not only that, but you know, if you're the author, you know the tone that you were writing the book in, and you can portray that verbally when you're reading it. Like I read one of Kevin Hart's books a couple months ago. You know Kevin Hart, the actor, comedian.
Yeah.
So he's got a couple books out, and they're actually really good books. But he read them. I listened to it on Audible, and it's freaking hilarious. Like just because it's Kevin Hart reading it, and so he's bringing that Kevin Hart personality, and it's a pretty serious book. It's like a you know, self-development type of book, but it's also hilarious. And like anyone else would have read that, it's not funny, right? But right. When it's Kevin Hart reading the words that Kevin Hart wrote in the way that he intended them to be read, it's in true Kevin Hart fashion, it's hilarious. That's cool. I was just curious when I heard you say that it's on Audible, if you did it or not. I have heard a lot of authors say it's very difficult. It's a harder process than what they expected going into it, reading it and getting it right, and a lot of takes, a lot of do-overs and splicing together of audio.
Totally. No, it's my next book. I'm going to, before I go and finish it, go to the final stages of publishing it. I'm going to read the Audible version and make tweaks to the manuscript. Because when you write it in your head, okay, and you edit it and you do this, but then you go and read it, you start to realize I could have made it flow a little bit better because it doesn't read like you were picturing in your mind.
That makes perfect sense to me. That makes a lot of sense that would be a smart way to do it. Very cool. Well, look, when the next book comes out, you'll have to let me know and we'll have you come back on the podcast to talk about that one. In the meantime, everyone go check out The Golden Toilet. I've had a chance to read it. It's a great read. If you own your own business, if you're thinking about getting into business for yourself, I mean, this is the type of stuff that you need to understand. It doesn't mean you need to go be able to do it all yourself, but these are the type of things that you need to be thinking about as a business owner. Check out Steve's company, ROIonline.com. Check out some of the free resources that he has there and at the book website. We'll link all of that in the show notes. Real quick lightning round before you go. I've got four questions that I ask everyone that comes on the show. We'll fly through these real quick. First one is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received? And that could be in business or in life.
Yeah, see a system. Look for a system. The goals are for Scott Adams says, as a quote in his book, How to Fail at Everything and Still Win Bigly, is that goals are for losers, systems are for winners.
I love that. And it ties into a lot of what you've already talked to us about today. Mm-hmm. Second question, do you have a morning routine of any sort, something that you try to do every morning to prime yourself for a successful day?
Yeah, and so I brush my teeth. I generally shower.
Yeah, those are both good.
And try to put on a fresh pair of underwear. So,
well, I can guarantee you those things are not happening as much these days for a lot of people with coronavirus and quarantine and just people not out and about as much. I'm at my standing desk right now. I haven't had pants on this whole time. And it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I might add.
Yeah, why not? I've worn sandals for months now.
Yeah, I know. No, the hygiene piece is definitely important, and I can see how that does prime you for a successful day. We've talked about some books. What book are you reading right now?
This book here, Conversations That Win the Complex Sale.
Okay.
Excellent book.
Is it?
And the title, it's not the best title, but it's an excellent book.
It's not The Golden Toilet. It's not on that level.
No, but it's like, I'm going to talk to these guys, but they have all these great things that you need to consider when you're building your messaging. And yet they missed it in the title and the book cover. They could have stepped it up a little bit there.
It's a complex title.
Tim and Eric, if you're listening, you need to call me, brothers.
I love it. All right. Final question. What is your definition of freedom and are you living it?
Freedom is doing things that are fulfilling to you. You know, people talk about happiness. I just want to be happy. And happy is a fleeting state. It's impossible to be happy when you learn that one of your significant people in your lives pass away, right? And so, but what can you be more, you can control more what fulfills you and make sure that you're spending time on things that are fulfilling to you, that give you energy, that make you feel proud. That's I think the secret to success. So aligning the time that you spend in your life on activities that are fulfilling.
I love it. I could not agree more.
One more thing.
It's important. Yeah, please do.
So, need to talk about my podcast as well. It's the ROI Online Podcast. So I'd
thank you. Yes.
Give us a listen.
Absolutely. We will also link that in the show notes. I've checked out a few episodes myself. Very good stuff. So if you like what you've heard Steve talk about today, you can get a lot more of that at the ROI podcast. Is that on pretty much all the major podcast platforms out there?
Yep. The ROI Online Podcast.
Beautiful. We'll link all this in the show notes. Steve, really appreciate it, man. It's been great getting to know you, chatting with you. And I appreciate you making time to drop into the Path to Freedom podcast. And I'm sure we'll chat again sometime in the near future.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Wes. You're a great host.
Thanks for dropping in with me on this episode of the Path to Freedom podcast. I hope you got a ton of value and learned something new. And if you did, please make sure to subscribe and follow the Path to Freedom podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And also, please share with someone else that may also get value from it. And if you're interested in learning more about how you can take steps to getting into business for yourself, I'd love to speak with you. Connect with me online at pathtofreedom.com. That's path, the number two, FRDM.com, or shoot me an email at wes@pathtofreedom.com, spelled the same way. And if you know anyone else that may be interested in speaking with me, I'd love to meet them. Please forward this podcast along to them and encourage them to reach out. Thanks again for joining me today, and I'll see you next time. Now go drop in.